Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. I am a financial advisor with UBS, and this podcast is called Five Things because you're going to learn five things, then you're going to get on with your day because we all have so much going on in our lives. Part of the reason I launched this podcast was because I am on this mission to help women through divorce, transition, to help empower them. I have a super soft spot for female founders and entrepreneurs, small businesses, and of course, closing the wage gap. I have three teenagers, two of them are girls, so I have a personal interest in that. And this podcast is a small piece of helping us all get there. So before we dive in, I encourage you to go listen to the podcast we've previously done, Five Things Your Business Should Be Thinking About Right Now, the five people you should be surrounding yourself with, when to admit failure, which is a really tough one. We've done some great stuff. I'm super proud of this. But today I'm so super excited because part of the reason I came to UBS when I made this career change a little later than in life than most people would have expected was because of UBS's commitment and dedication to women and minorities. And I remember as a journalist actually interviewing the firm about this powerful work of research we have, which is called Own Your Worth. And it was really, I think, what made me decide to come on over because we put so much thought and effort into really helping women basically get out of their own way. Carrie Shuffman is here with us right now. She is head of Women's Strategic Client Segment here at the firm. She basically is behind this research. Carrie, thank you for being here. But most importantly, thank you for drawing so much attention to this issue.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for having me on today. And more importantly, thank you for being such a terrific partner of our team and for everything that you've done to bring the Own Your Worth message to life with your own community, like you're doing today with this podcast.
It's super important. And I have to say, I have all these like little anecdotal stories throughout my life that just blow my head off. You know, I know women still to this day that will say out loud, I cannot divorce the lying, cheating creep I live with because I don't know how to handle myself or I don't know if I'll have enough money. And so now you're choosing money over your happiness, over your freedom. And it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
I mean, we hear a lot of stories around whether it's, you know, a prior lack of involvement or finding a financial surprise or, you know, just whatever it might be. Life throws us all curveballs each and every day of varying degrees of difficulty. And, you know, being involved in your financial life before a potential event arises is so important. And we'll get into a little bit with the research that we've actually done on that exact topic around, you know, avoiding financial surprises, why it's important to be prepared, being able to walk away from a bad relationship. So our research, and we've spoken with women here in the US and around the world, thousands and thousands of women and men all around these topics. And we continue to hear stories like what you've just referenced every day.
And more now, right? You know, just for context, we're post-COVID, right? It's the fall 2020. We're hoping to get a vaccine and move on. But when we were in the depths of it, especially here in the tri-state area, it was really scary. And now more than ever, you realize life can turn on a dime. I mean, I remember when we went on lockdown, we thought it was going to be for 2 weeks. And I feel like we're going on like 5-6 months now. So you have no idea what life is going to throw at you. All the more, it is important to have this financial security and understanding. And so the research I referenced, the Own Your Worth research, Carrie, I'll toss it to you because you guys actually updated it for COVID and for everything that happened during COVID.
We did. So just to provide a little bit of background, as you mentioned, Tracy, a little over 2 years ago, we as a firm embarked on a pretty groundbreaking study of women and financial decision making. We really wanted to understand the experience of women as it pertains to how they approach the major long-term financial decisions in their household, how involved they were or were not in those decisions, and if they were not involved, why not? So we did a ton of research. I mentioned we did research here in the US and around the world all around this topic. And ultimately, one of the things that we learned that really sparked this research was that at some point in their lives, 8 in 10 women in the US will end up alone and solely responsible for their own financial well-being, which is a pretty staggering number, 80%. You know, we like to say that women are a population, not a segment in everything that we do. You can't say that women are a niche industry. That's just not the case. We're all so different. We have different needs, different goals, different concerns. But 80% is a pretty significant portion of the population of women.
No doubt. And I know that there's been tons of studies done and we have done them as well. But this whole notion of now this wealth transfer, right, is adding to it. You know, the traditional married couple was a man and a woman, and he traditionally took care of the money and had all this money. And we're expected now by 2030 to see this huge transfer to women. So now you have all these women with all this money. We could like rule this country if we just can figure out what to do with it all.
No, you're exactly right. And unfortunately, I think, you know, as our research has uncovered, a lot of the dynamics around who makes the major financial decisions within households behind closed doors within the context of heterosexual couples really hasn't changed. Because we ultimately found that about half of women in heterosexual couples here in the US and around the world said that they are not as actively involved in those long-term financial decisions and investing decisions and actually defer those decisions to their male spouse or partner. And actually, interestingly enough, among same-sex couples, we also find that about half of women in same-sex couples said that they were not involved at all and let their spouse or partner take the lead. So it does seem that there's, in a lot of relationships, that there's one decision maker when it comes to the finances and one person who sort of takes a back seat.
Yeah. And that, like, you know, you don't want to scare people, but you need to be prepared. You never know that decision maker sadly could get hit by a bus on the way home from work, if indeed they're actually going to an office these days, or you just don't know, right? But the upshot is, and to get to your five takeaways from this great research, is at least we know now that both men and women believe we need financial equality in order to have equality in this world.
Yes, and you're exactly right. And it's not just preparing for, you know, the what if worst case scenarios, you know, the proverbial bus hitting or the pandemic situation that we never, ever could have predicted or foreseen. It's also, you know, that planning for the happy occasions, being able to maybe retire a couple years earlier, or all of a sudden, you know, you've been living your life and maintaining the lifestyle that you envisioned with two children, and you find out you have a third child on the way. And how are you going to make sure that you're able to provide that same quality of life to your third child and manage as a family of five instead of a family of four, for example? And that's an incredibly joyous occasion, but it requires a level of financial planning and financial engagement, being able to pay for, you know, aging parents and their care. Whatever it might be, I think being involved and aware through all of the things that life can throw at us, both sort of personally and then sort of the macro factors like COVID-19 or, you know, whatever it might be, I think it's so important to be involved and aware and prepared to shape the decisions that will ultimately most impact your future and your family's future and your loved one's future.
And yet, to your second point, your research also showed that financial equality just doesn't actually exist yet, does it?
Yeah, and I think I missed saying specifically, I think the first big takeaway from our research, to go back to the five things, as you said, was absolutely what you mentioned before, which is that, interestingly enough, in the most recent research that we did just this year over the summer and spring of 2020, we found that both men and women believe that having financial equality among the genders is critical to achieving overall gender equality, and that women's participation in these major financial decisions like investing, retirement planning, longevity planning is critical to ultimately achieve greater gender equality. And they cited exactly the reasons that we're talking about: being able to avoid financial surprises, being able to walk away from a bad relationship. All of these were reasons as to why this concept of participation is so important. And so that would be the first big takeaway. And then the second takeaway is that, unfortunately, in practice, we're seeing that that's really not the case. So again, going back to our research from 2 years ago, as well as the most recent research, both studies found that about half of women in couples told us that they deferred these major financial decisions to their spouse or partner and were not involved. So despite over 80% of women saying that they believed equal participation was key to achieving true gender equality, we still find that about 50% of women are not actualizing that in their own households and are not involved in those decisions that they would consider helping to achieve gender equality.
I mean, you could see how this happens, right? And especially like in a young couple, and no one should, no one's at fault here, because life happens and it just takes off on you. And the next thing you know, something terrible happens and you're unprepared, right? But you can't go down on yourself on that. And there's no time like the present to start to learn, but you could see how it happens, especially like in a young family, right? She's working, she's taking care of the kids, she's trying so hard to keep it all together. And she says to, I'm gonna use traditional roles. She says to him, "Hey, can you just take care of the long-term stuff? Like almost like just do something." And you could see how years go on and he just keeps doing his thing and she keeps doing hers and the wheels on the bus keep moving. And then the next thing you know, it's too late.
I think you're exactly right. And the research actually proved just that, which is that many of the women who told us they weren't involved said that a big piece of it was just having entrenched roles that had developed right. as a couple, whether it's, you know, just saying, citing a division of labor and saying, you know, I take care of other things and my partner or spouse takes care of the finances. So just sort of that expectation of the evolution of gender roles and who does what and the division of labor and sort of taking that divide and conquer approach, as well as sort of complacency as well. So many women told us that they just like not having to handle these types of financial decisions and they prefer that their spouse does it. In fact, a big piece that was often cited was just a lack of interest in the long-term finances within a household. But I actually personally, and I think our research has shown this as well, I think lack of interest often is sort of more of an indicator for lack of kind of confidence around it, which is another yes. thing that our research found. So, you know, why would you be interested in something if you don't realize the implications of being involved and aware of what it might be? And so thinking about and changing the dynamic and changing that misconception that finances is all about the technical stuff and actually saying, you know, being involved in your financial life means, you know, planning for, you know, possibly having another child or retiring early or buying that beach home you've always wanted or giving back to the causes that you care most about. All of that has, you know, there's financial engagement around all of those things that you may want to achieve and the goals that you have for yourself or the concerns that keep you up at night. You know, financial well-being is so inextricably tied to overall well-being. So showing that, I think you'll get a lot more interest. And so much of our research where we heard from women who said, "I'm not interested in that," that might change if we're able as an industry, as individuals with what we do to kind of change what we actually perceive as financial involvement.
Right. And how we present it. Like, you know, first of all, social impact investing, you can invest with your morals these days. Like that stuff hits home, that people care about that. Because to your third point, this whole lack of interest cuts across all ages. I mean, you can't classify it as, you know, it's just young people, it's just old people. And I'll tell you from experience, back in my, you know, I'm going to put my journalism hat on for a minute. When I reported, I'll never forget, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, one of the very first times I was there, they speak in acronyms. They speak in like, it feels like a foreign language. It's almost like they don't want you to understand. And I think there's something to that, right? That they scare you off on purpose. And all of a sudden it becomes, it's, dare I say, it's a man's game and you kind of don't belong here. And we need to stop that as well.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree. I think the jargon, all the yes. technical terms, it creates this sort of esoteric club. And if you're not part of it, you know, why would you want to take the time with everything else that we all have on our plates to engage in something that seems so, you know, difficult to understand? And I think that's where, again, flipping this concept of financial involvement on its head, you know, asking yourself the questions around what do you want to accomplish with your life? Who are the people that you care about most and how are you going to take care of them? Again, a lot of it, whether we like it or not, comes down to money and finances. And regardless of your level of finances, regardless of, you know, your level of wealth, it's still really important to be involved and aware of what's going on from a cash flow perspective, from a savings perspective, from a planning for the future perspective. And you're absolutely right. There is no one sort of example of who is not involved, because we looked at that and it really did cut across backgrounds, educational levels, professions, generations. Interestingly enough, about 40% of women who told us that they were the breadwinner in their household still let their spouse or partner take the lead on making the financial decisions, despite them, you know, citing that they were the primary earner. And millennial women, actually, and I know you mentioned, you know, the example of a young couple just sort of starting out and starting a family. But interestingly, millennial, and this is probably the most shocking thing from our research, millennial women and couples were the most likely to say that they deferred the major financial decisions to their spouse or partner. So rather than breaking the status quo, millennial women are actually perpetuating it even more so than prior generations.
Yeah, so all the more, like, we need to start talking about this. You know, women are so funny. We'll talk about everything under the sun. We'll spend an hour talking about the proper peanut butter to serve our kids. We'll talk about sex, but we will not talk about money, and we need to stop. And so to your next point, that one of the big takeaways with COVID now is that all of us being home kind of brought us back to, like, leave it to Bieber, right? And we completely reinforced the old school gender roles.
Yeah. And in our research, you know, it was the timing worked out insofar as we were able to conduct extensive research around how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted women in their households, especially right at the height of the pandemic in March, April, May. And what we heard was exactly as you just said, that unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic situation has, in many cases, reinforced more traditional stereotypical gender roles within households. So again, this was self-reported, but among the many, many women and men that we spoke to around the US, women overwhelmingly told us that they were taking on more of the household responsibilities like cooking, cleaning, childcare, homeschooling, while men told us that they were taking on more of the outdoor chores like yard work, as well as managing more of the financial decisions. So again, you're exactly right. I would say that would be the fourth key takeaway, which is that unfortunately, COVID-19 has reinforced more traditional gender roles, given, you know, we're all home and we're all sort of juggling this unforeseen situation that we never could have imagined, whether that means, you know, juggling kids in virtual school, working remotely, you know, intergenerational living with, you know, kids at home, parents at home. It's a really unique situation that we really never saw before. And this is one of the outcomes, unfortunately, that we're hearing from it.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately for my kids, I had to cook more. That was, that didn't go over well. But the upshot is that it did make people think, and this is the only thing I think we could hope for, right? That it did make people rethink their financial situation. And if nothing else, women were saying, I really should learn more about this because who knows what could happen.
You're exactly right. And I would say that that is a great sort of final fifth sort of highlight or takeaway from our research. And to end on a more positive note, I would say that you're exactly right. So women overwhelmingly told us that the COVID-19 pandemic situation has caused them to think differently about their financial situation. So actually over 80% of women that we spoke to said that COVID-19 has caused them to want to protect themselves and their families more financially. And almost 2/3 of women said that the pandemic has impacted how they view money and that they intend to have financial conversations with their partner or spouse more. So again, going back to what you said previously, trying to break down that taboo of talking more openly about money. And so I think, again, there's some really, hopefully, that these intentions, you know, planning to revisit your financial situation, planning to revisit your will, planning to talk about finances with your family members, with your children. I really hope that the intentions do lead to action and that, you know, as a result of the current situation and the crisis around COVID-19, that we do see more women engaging more meaningfully in their financial lives. And participating in the key financial decisions that will ultimately impact them and their families and their futures for years to come.
Right, because you're doing it, and I love that, and that's a beautiful way to end this, because you're doing yourself a disservice. First of all, it doesn't matter where you are in life. I don't want anyone to think they're too old, too far in, too beyond, too anything. This is not rocket science, by the way. This is, and you don't need to know where the stock market closed today. That's not what we're talking about here. Carrie's talking about understanding how to take care of your family, how to take care of the next generation, how to invest with your heart and your morals. I think that's really key too. And just being a part of the conversation. So what? So the other person is still going to hit buy and sell and take care of that, but you need to know what's happening. I mean, I think that's the takeaway here, right? Just be part of the conversation.
Absolutely. Be part of the conversation. Take your seat at the money table, as we like to say. And that can be in any way, shape, or form that you feel comfortable, as long as you take a more active role in just knowing what's going on. You know, how has the pandemic affected your financial situation, maybe from a cash flow perspective? Has it impacted your savings? Has it impacted, you know, if you're thinking about retirement soon, has it impacted your plans to retire? All of those things, just understanding, you know, where you stand, what you want for the future, and then how you're planning to get there from a high level perspective, and having those conversations about that. I think that's exactly right. We're not saying, as you know, we're not saying you have to become an expert in all things financial, or that you have to take the reins in every, you know, financial decision, picking the stocks, picking the bonds, picking the mutual funds. You know, that's not the case at all. It's really about that engagement and awareness so that you can be prepared for whatever life may throw at you, good or bad, positive or negative, big or small.
Yeah, pour a glass of wine and just start having these conversations a little bit at a time. Carrie, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share what I think is such valuable research. And I think if more and more women in particular hear what the statistics are, it's eye-opening. And that's what we're here to change.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Tracy, for having me on today. It was great chatting with you. As you know, I could talk about this topic for hours, and
I'm so glad
to be with you and talking about this. And, you know, hopefully we'll have more research to report to see sort of, you know, whether those intentions do lead to actions as we continue to do more research focused on women and the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's impacting families financially.
Yes, I'm confident it will change. I thank you again.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit ubs.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.